I want to work on today is I want to work on a book that I read over the weekend. Lydia had gotten me this book a while back, and I did some reading from it. I was really enjoying it, so I grabbed it with me this weekend when I went up to, where was I this weekend? This weekend I was up in Wichita, Kansas, and had a great time, great group of people up there. I just thank all you guys if you're on the call for the hospitality. It was terrific. And Gloria and her Terry and the whole Greg and the whole group was just absolutely terrific. We had a great time, great training. And, of course, whenever I travel, I read books. So I conquered, I grabbed it, and I read it front to back and just spent a lot of time with T.D. Jakes. And some of you are familiar with T.D. Jakes. And anyway, his church happens to be, I'll just tell you guys, some of you who may enjoy him, you'll be jealous that his church is less than 5 miles from my house. Isn't that incredible? And I call it, it's one of those mega churches today. I think they have 30,000 members or something. It's huge. But he's I've been there a couple times. Lydia likes to go sometimes, and so we sneak out on our church and run over there anyway. But he's just a joy to hear. He's got so much energy, and he's really so gifted. And his book is terrific. So there's a lot of greatness in his book, and I just thought I would outline some of that for you because I think that repositioning ourselves is really kind of hits home for us right now when we're talking about our Manitech business. For a lot of us, it really, is just exactly where we are, and because we kind of got stuck, and we have all this new stuff coming out and changes. So what are we doing to reposition ourselves? Are we really taking this on, or are we, staying stuck? So I think that as I go through this, I will tie it into network marketing, and then I'll also tie it into where we are today. So maybe give you some insight into how you can look at yourself today in a position of repositioning yourself. T.D. Jakes talks about in his book, and of course this isn't going through his entire book because there's just a lot of material there, but I kind of highlight the things that I felt were most important to share today. But he talks about five different stages a progression that we go through in every aspect of our life. It's not just about our business life, but he talks about relationships, our church life, our walk, everything. We tend to go, these five stages tend to impact us in every aspect of our life. So you can take this information, you can apply it to your marriage, you can apply it to your relationship with your kids, you can apply it to your church life, you can apply it to your walk, you can apply it to your Manitech business, whatever. Of course, our purpose in these calls is to align it with Manitech, so we will do some of that as I go through it. The first stage of progression is something that's called our discovery stage, or he refers to it as revelation. It's a discovering an opportunity of significance in our life. And I think all of us can remember the first time we came exposed to Manitech, and it became an incredible opportunity of significance. And it maybe it wasn't even the first time it was exposed to you. Some of you might maybe like me, that it really wasn't the, I guess I saw it, and I loved the idea of being a consumer, but the business side of it didn't come up until I really hit what we call the inspiration stage, and we'll talk about that second. But the revelation stage is discovery of that opportunity of significance, and the science of glycobiology, and it's kind of something that it's a stage in your life where what's unveiled to you is a challenge that you accept as falling within the scope of your own sense of purpose. So there's an alignment that takes place that it's consistent with the purpose that you have in life. And, when we came across Manitech, for a lot of us, it was the mission of hope and the mission of health for the world, and it really was in total alignment with our sense of purpose. So we actually had a discovery. We came across it. We knew it was going to be a challenge. Anyone who walked into this that thought it wasn't a challenge was probably led down the wrong path, because anytime you put energy behind building a business, there are going to be challenges to it. So the idea is that you jump on board those. And his comment in his book was, regret is for those who see the opportunity. In other words, people who see this significance or an opportunity of significance for themselves, but they lack the commitment to go to the next stage. They just stop. So they end up living their life in a state of regrets instead of a state of, of purposeful action and purposeful, mission seeking that we all do. We all kind of want to be a part of something and drive something and move forward of it. I also want to share with you, there's a great quote that I took out of the Power of Focus book. way back when, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, or I think it was 5 years ago when I first went through that book, and I just thoroughly enjoyed that book. If you haven't read it, it's called The Power of Focus by Canfield, Hansen, and Hewitt. Anyway, and they actually quoted, they talked about master philosopher Jim Rohn. They used his, and that's where I found this quote. He said he astutely observes that there are two major pains in life. Jim Rohn observes that there are two major pains in life. One is the pain of discipline. The other is the pain of regret. Discipline weighs ounces, but regret weighs tons when you allow your life to drift along unfulfilled. And that was so huge to me, a huge statement about what are we choosing. There are two pains, two major pains. There's kind of two major paths. You can have the pain of discipline, or you can suffer the pain of regret. The pain of discipline, we can even apply it to working out and all different things. The pain of discipline really doesn't weigh a lot. It just takes, discipline is just structure. It's just building habits in our life. It's kind of like the slight edge, you know. We do things every day because we know they're good for us. We don't know what, we may not lose weight today or tomorrow or a month from now or 6 months from now, but you know what? We do it every day because we know it's good. You swallow Manatech products every day. You may not see a difference today, a difference in 6 months, a difference in 2 years, but you know what? You know what they represent, and that's why you swallow it every day. So discipline is something that we develop habits around that we, you know, but it's painful, right? Everybody says, oh, yeah, Mary Jo, being disciplined, because it requires structure, and some of us like to be free-wielding and free-life spirits. But you can be a free-life spirit and still have discipline in your life, discipline around the things that are so crucial for you, like health, and success. If having a success in your life is important, then you're going to build disciplines around that. But it weighs ounces compared to regrets, which will absolutely punish you endlessly in your life if you live your life in regret. So the concept is, you know, and it's kind of, again, rang a bell when I read this revelation section of T.D. Jakes, that when you discover an opportunity, you want to take action. You don't want to have regrets in your life. So that's the first step in terms of the stage. You have a revelation stage where this revelation comes to you. The second step is the inspirational stage. It provides the fuel that is used to ignite the passion needed to overcome what we call the inevitable obstacles. Because in everything in life, you're always going to have obstacles. No matter anything good in life has obstacles. And as we see in Manatech, we've seen lots of obstacles over the last 6 months. And we all need to ignite our passion in order to overcome those obstacles. So what is the fuel? The inspiration stage presents that. And many people lack passion to go after what they've realized in the first stage. In other words, they see an opportunity of significance, but they lack the ability to be passionate about it. They can't get inspired. And then they let it go by in their life, and then they live that again. They're going back to that life of regrets. I regret I never did that. I regret I never put my energy forth. I regret that I never really put my total energy behind my Manatech business. I know I could have become presidential, but I'm going to live in regrets because I never felt inspired, or I never allowed my passion. I never went and took the step or got into the stage of inspiration where I followed my passion. And some of you get very passionate about Manatech, but you don't take action. You know, there's that next step, too, which goes into formalization. So passion isn't the only answer. Passion is critically important. So it's critically important to be inspired. Now, what are ways that we develop our passion in Manatech in terms of our business? And a lot of the things that we talk about in terms of why do we get people to go to Manifest and why do we get them to go to national conventions, ManaQuest, Manifest, all of those, regional, super regional, you know, area meetings. I mean, the reason we do that is to drive that passion. I had some people, in fact, Dorothy was one of them, who went to the Branson Regional, and she came back totally on fire. She says, and she's been in Manatech for years, but she came back and she said, Mary Jo, this is what I want to do. I feel so led. This is what the Lord wants me to be doing. I just need to figure out a way I can do it full time so I'm not messing around with all these other things. I need to slim off my plate some of the other things that just aren't as important as this is. And I just need to start focusing and putting my, you know, and it was great. But it was the inspiration that she got. That was her. That she just went through a second stage. You see what happens? She's been in Manatech 5 years, but that Branson Regional put her back in that inspirational stage, that passion that fuels the fire to move forward. And that's us right now are sitting in a situation because of what's transpired in Manitech, where we our passion may be a little quashed or a little dampened or a little, you know, that we feel like we're angry. I got an email today from somebody who's been on my Monday call for years, not my downline, and he was angry, and he wanted off. He said, take me off your Monday call, and he made all these, like, you know, slanderous comments about management at Manitech, and I was just reading this thing, and it just hurt me so deeply that I responded to his message in a just loving and caring way, because I just felt, wow, you know, this really caused some anger in people. And I, you know, it's not about being angry. It's, you know, you have choices. You can choose here. Are you going to be, you know, angry about something? Or are you going to do something about it? This is just adversities. We have adversities in our life, and the true character of man shows up in times of adversity. So start peeking at yourself and looking at yourself and saying, wow, am I making bad choices around the things that are troubling Manitech today? Can I make better choices? How do I get re-inspired? How do I get reignited? How do I get that passion back? And some of you will tell me, Mary Jo, that's why I'm on your call every Monday morning, because you drive my passion. And that's terrific. That's great. If that's a source where you can feel inspired, then you need to continue on that path, because inspiration is so crucial in our lives. And some people need more. Some people need to have an injection every week. They need a fix. You know, it's like they're little druggies. No, I'm kidding. But I mean, it's kind of like that's what it is. It's a stimulant. It's a source of stimulation that we need. And that's great, too. I need stimulants. We all need stimulants. We need things in our lives. But, you know, others of us get stimulation from just the phone calls I get, the great, you know, emails I get about how these products impact people's lives. I mean, when I see these and I go out in the field and I hear the stories, it's just overwhelming. I had a woman this weekend who was in, and she might be on the call today, and she gave me a note. She wrote it, all she had was a napkin. She wrote it on a napkin, and she gave me a note that she had heard me speak in Oklahoma City 2 years ago. And she had come up and asked some questions about her bronchitis, because she'd been on the products for a couple of years and her bronchitis wasn't getting any better. And she had never heard of the product Phytolo. So, of course, Mary Jo just, you know, I'm so excited about fruits and vegetables that I just know that that's a, you know, a deficiency in our system. And I told her to load up on Phytolo, and I just gave her some suggestions around that. And she wrote a little note, you know, to me in Wichita, Kansas this weekend, 2 years later, about how it totally changed her life. You know, people, that's my inspiration. That's my passion. You know, when that happens to me, some people think, oh, I'll just give Mary Jo this little note. You really drive me in that way. You know, your positive approach, your compassion, and your commitment to be on the products and the results that are created, that's what it really causes me to be totally inspired. So we need to find that inspiration and that passion, and we need to continue. And if some of you say, well, Mary Jo, you've been in the business longer and you have all these great testimonies and stuff, and I said, you know what, it has nothing to do with length of business. It has to do with, are you sharing enough? Are you going out there and sharing with enough people to create incredible results around you? And that's what you need to start looking at, because most of us, you know, that's our number one problem. We're not in the business. We're not really in the mode of sharing. We are sitting back and waiting for things to happen to us. And it's that's not the way life works. Things will happen to you, but they're not going to be, you're going to live life by chance and circumstance instead of by choice and commitment. And, you know, to me, it's a lot better to live life by choice and commitment, because then you're not out of control. And that's what you have to look at. Is your life out of control? And what can you do differently to take back some of that? So inspiration's great. And if you're a procrastinator, you know, he talks about procrastinators in this inspiration state, and he goes, perpetual procrastinators never gain the momentum since they fail to have inspiration to overcome obstacles. So you got that. So it's incredible. So if you're a procrastinator, what happens is you might feel a sense of passion or inspiration, but you procrastinate and you put off things because whenever time an obstacle comes up, you never want to tackle it. You'd rather put it off till later. And then what happens is you never move on to the next stage. You get stuck. And you might be inspired, but you never create anything. And inspiration is no good if it doesn't create results. It's an endless process. In fact, if you get stuck in that, you tend to go from inspiration back to revelation back to inspiration. So your passion wears out after a while because you don't create anything, and then you have to go back and have a new revelation. And the new revelation, and this sounds like a lot of people in network marketing. These are the people that do what? They jump from one network marketing company to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, because each one sounds a little bit better, so they grab onto something new and different, and the next one sounds better than the last one, the next one. And you keep getting, oh, Mary Jo, I just discovered a new opportunity of significance that fits my purpose. I go, great, what did you do with the last one? That's my only question. What did you do with the last one? And they'll look at me and they go, which one? Because they might have had 16 of them. If you didn't create anything with the last one, why do you think you're going to create anything with this one? You got to get through inspiration. You got to make the next step. You got to take the next, because inspiration is oftentimes the catalyst of taking action, and that's what you need to look at it as. The passion and the inspiration needs to lead you to action. Otherwise, it doesn't have any value. So the third step, the third stage, as T.D. Jakes describes it, is a stage called formalization, and that's after your inspirational stage, then this is your formal commitment stage. There's that word again, people. Commitment. Oh, tough word. Commitment. Your choice becomes a part of your life and your existence. Your choice. You choose to be committed. And as I said earlier, when a person doesn't choose to be committed, when you don't make commitments, when you don't set goals and make commitments about your business, commitments about the incentive period, commitments, then you'll end up in that perpetual treadmill repeating the first two stages. So formalization is a crucial stage to move forward. And, you know, making promises but never making commitments, that doesn't help. What happens to people that make promises that never make commitments is they come up with limitless possibilities, but they never attain any reality because they lack the ability to get to that third stage. They never commit. So, you know, you could have a dream, you get there from stage one, and you can have the skills behind it, but it's kind of like, is the dream possessing you? Is your dream possessing you? Is your dream, is it who you are? Is it go to the core of your value system and who you are? That's why I think it's so critical to have, you know, a review of who you are, about what makes you tick. And then it's easy to make commitments because you're making commitments about who you are, about being the best you can be. And if you look at this, you can also take this, you know, in terms of goal setting and commitments around incentives and all these kind of things, and commitments about just being at manifest. Are you committed to being at manifest? Well, then if you're committed, then make it happen. Then do it. Take the step to get a done deal. And move on. And you can look at the same thing as it goes with relationships. Marriage is a commitment. That's the formalization. Revelation, you discover somebody that really fits you, your value system very well, you're inspired, you're passionate about the person, and you make a formalization. Oops, there's that person again. Oops. No, I can't commit. They go back in that cycle of revelation, inspiration, never move forward. Formalization, commitment is gigantic. And the word commitment is what brings all that energy together, as I talked about earlier. And we're having a lot of fun in that power training on commitment. Tomorrow is our second class on that, and that's really exciting for people because they're learning and growing a lot from that. But it's important to have that commitment, formalization. The next one is institutionalization. So once you get totally committed and you're off to the races and you're creating incredible results, then what happens is what? It's a time when trouble usually starts to happen. Things become mundane. They lose their flair. Do you ever have that happen? Oh, come on. We all do. Relationships? How about your spouse? You have a time in your life where the flair just kind of drifted out of the relationship. Absolutely. Those baby diaper years and all the stuff that you did. Oh, my gosh. It got to be so mundane. It was day in, day out. Same old stuff every single day. Whoa. Institutionalizations. Employees. How do employees get through the institutionalized stage? Well, they work for a paycheck. They lose the whole commitment, their whole passion for the job. And they start just collecting a paycheck. Some of you in that mode today, you can feel yourself. Some of you never had passion in the first place for the job. You're only doing the job because something's not working in your Manitech business. So you have to have a job. So you're doing a job that you have no passion for, and it's very hard to do. Absolutely, because you never went through that earlier stage of inspiration. Your inspiration is for something totally different in your life, but what are you going to do differently so that you can create different results so you can be back in the flow of doing what you're passionate about? Right? Network marketers fall into institutionalization. I think here's a factual situation that shows what does this mean for network marketers. And of course, T.D. Jakes didn't get into network marketing in his book. But I think you can look at network marketers and say, I see people that fall into, I want to manage my downline and stop enrolling. They get into management mode. And this happens a lot with nationals and early executives. They start doing management. Management, oh, Mary Jo, but I have so many people, I just need to manage them. And I'm going, ay, 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 you start managing. I have kind of a rule of thumb in my business when I train people. I say, you know, 70% of all your time should be spent sharing in customer service with consumers, customers, and prospects until you're like way beyond the early limits of an executive director. So you got to be at least at 20,000 in volume, GPV, before you start really conceptualizing that you need to allocate more and more time towards management. But we like to manage early because, you know what, it doesn't require us to be out of our comfort zone. For some of you, prospecting is out of your comfort zone, so you don't want to do it. So that's what happens, and that's institutionalization because, you know, it's really the prospecting and working with people and getting people started and seeing those results that does what, remember? What is it? What ignites Mary Jo's passion? The results. If I stop prospecting, I stop seeing results. So that's why I prospect. That's why I talk to people every day. That's why, last week we signed up 4 people in my organization, between Lydia and I, 4 new people. Why? Because we don't stop prospecting. We still share. We share all the time. And it's not that I can dedicate a lot of time to it because I'm so busy training, teaching, you know, traveling, but I still, wherever I go, I share. It's a time to share. I had a really hard time. You're going to love this. My airplane ride back from Wichita, Kansas on Saturday night. You know how many people on my airplane? 4. And I was one of them. Now, you try sitting next to somebody when there are only 4 people on an entire plane. They're going to think there's something wrong with you if you try to sit next to them. Anyway, so it's intriguing. But, you know, in any circumstance, you can always find ways to share with people. It's just about what your commitment is around that. What's your formalization process? If you made a commitment to win so many points in the incentive or get to somewhere or build your business to presidential status or get to platinum presidential, then make it happen. It's in your grasp. You need to step in to make it happen. But the institutionalization stage is where you really get into the mundane. You're allowing it to become mundane for yourself. You start asking questions like, oh, you know, why do I have to keep working so hard? When can I get a break? When am I going to find Jet Junior for my downline so I have a huge business builder? It's not fair. So-and-so made presidential in 6 weeks, and it's not happening to me. What's wrong with the program? It doesn't work. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We go through all of that stuff. You can look at it from other ways, too, but that's a word to use when you feel that that's what's going on in your life, right? That's the stage you're in. Marriage. What does marriage look like when it's institutionalized? Oh, my gosh, that's what it is, the changing diapers, the day in, day out, day in, day out. You've lost that passion. Sometimes you lose the passion for your spouse. You don't have any feelings towards them anymore. You're just like robots running a household, keeping track of things. And I'm going to tell you, that's when you're lost balance in your life. You forgot to balance your life. You left something out that's critically important. So even for the very best networkers, even for the Mary Jo's or the Jeff Allens or the, you know, all the presidentials out there, you know, each one of us needs to reignite our passion. And that's why we do the things we do, that we take actions to reignite the passion, make sure that we don't get stuck in that institutionalized stage, that our life is never mundane. Anyway, so it's really critical that we need to. So the final stage after institutionalized stage, when you start seeing yourself in there, you've got to go back and get that passion reignited. The last stage that everything goes through is that crystallization stage. This is when the deterioration starting in stage 4 takes its toll. It's a terminal stage, and of course we want to stay out of that like the plague. It's a stage where there's little that functions the way it once did. So that's how he defined it. Reigniting his passion is necessary for us in that stage as well, because if we allow us to get to that crystallization stage, a lot of times what's the net result? The net result in marriage is divorce. The net result in network marketing is you quit. And as we well know, the only people that don't make it are the people who quit. I work with people that have been in Manitech for 10 years and they just made presidential. It's great. Not everybody's going to make presidential in 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years even. Everybody's different. It's a different pace. But you'll never make it if you quit. It's a foregone conclusion. You can put the icing on that cake, right? And T.D. Jakes talks about crystallization stage. He goes, warning, 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 get away from the crystallized stage because it will make you give up something good. You're going to walk away from something good in your life. So put big red flags, a warning, when you feel that crystallization stage. So you see the five stages that he works through, and then you can kind of examine them for yourself and say, where am I in my Manitech business? And because these stages are nothing more than a series of cycles, a cycle is no more than a circle. So what you do in cycles is you treat it like a circle, and you go back into the stage of the circle that turns yourself back around. And that's when we talked about getting back into into new revelations about Manitech. Today, what are we talking about today? We have new revelations about Manitech today. New revelation is we have a simpler, fine-tuned machine in Manitech. Why? Because we now talk about wellness instead of sickness. We have a whole new arena out there. We can have so much joy in sharing the science, the glycobiology, and the reality of deficiencies, and how critically important it is to us to support our metabolic processes day in and day out to create healthy results in our life. That's what we share, and we share with people at every level. It's just a blast to get out there to make it something so simple. So there is a new revelation that fits your purpose, and there's new inspiration, a new passion, a new commitment that you're going to make things different, that you're going to do something differently today. It's just it's about taking on that difference and saying, wow, I'm overcoming the obstacle. I have a passion. Your purpose in life didn't change. The things that happen in Manitech doesn't change your core values. It didn't change your purpose in life. Maybe your purpose wasn't in the right place in the first place, and that could be, but your purpose hasn't changed. Your core values haven't changed. Nothing that's transpired in Manitech. So you're choosing something different when you start going in a different direction. So what you want to do is you want to go back to those core values, re-educate yourself, relearn, re-look at those for yourself. And say how has this changed, and why did I allow something in my environment to change that? That was so core and so on purpose for me, and have a reawakening around that. That'll bring back new inspiration, new passion for you. Is to just have that reawakening around your value system and your value structure. If you actually get stuck in five, then go back to stage one. You know, new revelations, and that's what we talked about. We just kind of went through that. His language was change your music, change your dance. You know, it's your choice. Success isn't in the money. We can all achieve money, but will it bring happiness, you know? And T.D. Jakes says no. In fact, the most successful people find a need to go and recreate themselves because they get stuck in crystallization stage as well. So it doesn't matter, have money, have no money, you can all go through those cycles and end up. And so you have to understand that each stage is a stage. It's a stage, and the stage will pass too. So if you find yourself stuck in one of the stages, just go, hey, it's a stage, it's part of a circle, a cycle, it will pass too. But take action to make it pass. You need to step up and take action, or you may get stuck in that stage for an extended period of time. And if you're in the crystallization stage, you may walk away from something that's truly tremendous value in your life. So you've got to move forward. You've got to take action on it, okay? And, you know, the intriguing thing in his book, which, you know, I challenge you to, it's a great book to read. When he talks about money, he says, you know, happiness isn't money, but money is, I think he made the comment, money is everything. And he didn't mean everything from a perspective of spiritual, because this man is very, very, very strong spiritual guy. But he talked about, you know, if you want to make things happen in your life and make differences in your life, you have to have some base level of financial fortitude so that you can move forward. Because without some level of financial fortitude, you're going to sit back in fear and worry and concern, and you're going to rob yourself of your effectiveness. So, you know, it's almost like you got in order to step into effectiveness, there has to be money there. So from that perspective, you can look at it as money is really everything. Money is the root of what allows you, or it's the foundation, it's the bricks that allows you to catapult yourself forward in a significant way. So you've got to, you know, dedicate yourself and say, where am I going to have the financial support to allow me to do my, you know, my God-driven purposes in life? What's going to allow me to do that? I have a lot of people that do Manatech because they the Lord's laid on their hearts that they want to be in the mission field. But they have children, and they go, how am I going to support this? And this is something they feel the Lord led them to in their path to provide the residual income to catapult them into the mission field. That's great. But again, the money was an underlying need for them to do the kingdom work that they have laid on their heart in order to do. What do you need to reposition yourself? He talks about a lot of things in the book. Environment is one. He says, you know, need to change for you to change. You need to change your environment. Do you have the right people around you you're going to identify people who are great mentors, great, you know, support system. I know a lot of you surround yourself with people that don't intimidate you or don't, but they also don't drive you. They don't hold you accountable. Because maybe you fear accountability. Well, if you fear accountability, what are you going to make of your life? So it's kind of like feel the fear and do it anyway. You know, move forward. You want to overcome that. You don't want to hide behind it. It's about playing life small instead of playing life big. So you want to surround yourself with and identify those people who are, as he puts it, navigationally right for you. They're going to help pull you and push you and move you and tweak you and like a little cattle prod, perhaps, or a little stinger here and there that move you forward, that twist and tweak. And again, some of you use this Monday call for that reason, because you get on the Monday call and, you know, even though Mary Jo, you might disagree with some of the things I say, but, you know, every once in a while something really tweaks you and you go, ooch, ouch, she's being really tough today. You know, and it just makes you feel. It causes you to look at yourself and really take a hard look at something. That's great. That's the, you know, self-awareness is the first step to any change in your life. So if that's the impact that some of these calls have on you, that's super. That's what you want. You want to have somebody who's tweaking you and just turning you a little bit, just a little bit of a prod to cause you to start moving in a different direction. For your environment to change, who needs to change? You need to change. And when you approach people to be in your mentors or people to be in your environment, you don't come with them with need. You don't say, I'm needy, needy, needy. I need you in my life. I need, 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 need. You come with what? What can you offer them? As you sow, so shall you reap. Don't ever forget that statement. That's a, you know, one of my favorites, and it's so true in, like, every aspect of our life. I can't find one where it's not. So you can, and he also put in there, one cannot run with chickens and then soar with eagles. Well, you know, that's his statement, as we well know in the book, How to Be the Best You Can Be in MLM by John Kalins. He says, you can't gaggle with the turkeys and expect to fly with the eagles. And that's exactly what he's saying. You got to choose where you're going to be. And if you want greatness in your life, you got to associate yourself with greatness. New eyes. So you need new environment. You need new eyes. You can change the outcome of your life if you will refuse to give up hope. That's a great statement. I had to read it twice because I didn't get it the first time it went past me. You can change the outcome of your life if you will refuse to give up hope. Some of you have already given up on hope. You need to refuse it. You need to battle it. It's just a battle in your mind. It's just something, because it's all about you. It's what you commit to. It's what your choice is. Do you choose to have hope for the future, or do you choose to give up on it? And then once you keep that hope in your mind, and you keep that hope moving forward, that hope for a future. And, of course, that's Christianity is based on hope, right? And each day, refine your vision of who you really are. So in other days, it's kind of like a Kaizen. Each day, you're going to make little bitty improvements in your life, refining your vision of who you are, who you're becoming every single day with the hope in your heart. And watch what happens. And he talked about life not being fair. He said, you know what? Life is not fair. He goes, that's an absolute truth. Life is not fair. And he started analyzing a lot of different things. He looked at Katrina, and of course, T.D. Jakes being black, he brought a lot of things that happened in the black community. He also brought up the statistic, which is pretty amazing to me. He said that when we look at our brothers, he says, we can see that today the statistics show us that between the ages of 18 and 22, there are more black brethren in prison and in jails than they are in college. And that statistic kind of blew me away. That was saddened my heart. But his approach to it was, you know, we can look at statistics and we can say, are we going to become a statistic? Are we going to let statistics control our future? Or are we going to put the value on education that needs to be put on education? Are we going to overcome statistics? And we can look at statistics also, whether you're black or white or whatever. Some of the statistics I like to use are the Social Security statistics, where they tell us, I think I've given you these statistics before. I don't have them all in front of me, but the statistics bear down on the fact that, 90% I think it is, that's a statistic. 90% of us, this is by the Social Security Administration, 90% of us will be dead or dead broke by the time we're 65. 90%. Another 5% will have to continue working because they're wards of the state. I mean, they're going to have somebody support them if they don't continue working. So after 65, they continue working until they're 75 or 85 or whatever, just so they have enough cash flow to live. So they're not dead broke, but they're awful darn close. And there's only 1%, 1 out of 100, that are truly financially wealthy. So you have these very limited statistics, and you can say, can you let those statistics get you down? Of course you could. But it makes no sense. They don't need to control you. You can let them control you, but it's your choice. Another quote he had in his book that I like so much was, anger without action leaves us bitter instead of better. Isn't that great? Anger without action leaves us bitter instead of better. So if we do feel anger towards things, what do we need to be doing? We need to be taking action with respect to them. Take action so that we can be better, not bitter. If we take anger and we internalize it, what does it do to us? It sours us. It robs from you. It will steal from you your joy, your passion, your hope. It'll steal all of that. So don't let that happen. And he says, in your life, voice your outrage as much as you need to. If you need to scream from the top of your house, scream from the top. Get it out. Life is not fair. Scream it 100 times a day. It doesn't matter how many times you do it. Just get rid of it. As often as you choose, get rid of it. Just keep releasing it and releasing it and releasing it, because you can't live your life walking around, life is not fair. I mean, what a silly way to look at life. And if you do that, you're letting that truth halt your progress in life. We can compare ourselves to biblical characters. He used Joseph, of course, as a classic about life not being fair. I mean, how many of you had your brothers try to kill you and then decide, oh, no, let's not kill him. Let's just sell him into slavery. Put him in a big black pit, you know. I mean, think of the thing. Did that discourage Joseph? Not at all. He went along, kept going. He became a student of his own success. It was incredible. And the results he created on earth were unbelievable. Saving generations when the famine came in such a direction. Just a believer, total belief. He didn't let any statistics, he didn't let any events, he didn't let any adversities wear him down. He just kept getting back up again. Perseverance is another one. We lose some battles to win the war. We look at that today with Manitech. You know, we might be losing some battles with the Texas AG, but we're going to win the war. We may lose the battle around the skincare, but we're going to win the war. We're going to have a great skincare line come out, and there's no doubt about it. You have to be able to allow yourself to have hope again so that you can rekindle that passion, because if you don't have hope, there's not going to be any passion. Hope is the forebearer of passion. Our greatest learning opportunity, sometimes when we go through these hardships, the hardships are what create those greatest learning opportunities. And that's why I always tell people, fall in love with your mistakes you make, because you've learned from them and you grow from them. If you don't learn from your mistakes, then what have you just gone through? An absolutely painful process that was useless to you. And there are painful processes that are never useless to you. There are always lessons to be learned, always. And then another thing he talked about at length, and I won't get into it greatly, I just put it as a line item on the outline, but if you want to get into his book, he has, you know, endless amount of material in his book on facing the giant, which is excuse me, how to deal with your financial situation, that we really need to get a grip on it. And the most important part of it to me was, number one, that you get a reality check. You don't run from it, flee from it, hide from it, hope it goes away, wish it wasn't there, all this kind of stuff. I mean, that's just craziness. It's not going anywhere. You get a grip on it. You take responsibility for it. You face the fear and go through it. And that's what he talks about in his book, that's the way you handle it. You manage it by taking responsibility for it, not fleeing from it. Some of you and some people that I work with in the foundation are the same. They just, it seems so insurmountable that they don't even admit reality. They walk away from it. Another one of his chapters, major part of the book, was our personal war on terrorism. In his terrorism, he talks about 9/11 and the terrorism in our country, and he says our greatest terrorism is our terrorism of mediocrity. That we need to fight very hard against that side of terrorism, because that's going to destroy this country more than any terrorist activity ever will. And I really agree with him. Mediocrity. We listen to those little voices in our brains, and we have tendencies to accept second rate or average or below average or something that's middling, or we accept ordinary or commonplace or run of the mill. We become into the, hey, I'm going to settle. I'm settling for this. I'm accepting this commonplace. I'm accepting this ordinary. Our goals need to be excellence. They need to be a drive for excellence, a drive for extraordinary, the best, the remarkable, the first rate. Mediocrity places the blinders of the mundane on you. And he talked about throwing off old limits, you know, coming from possibility, not probability. You got to give up the past perceptions and perilous patterns that have kept you in the ditch. You got to give them up. You got to release them. Let them go. What are you doing today to prepare for a greater future? Change is going to happen. Stopping it is futile. Preparing for change is critical. Some of you are just sitting back waiting for change to happen. Then you live life by what? Chance and circumstance, not choice and commitment. His final point in that mediocrity chapter was about gratitude. He says gratitude is critical. It is one of the greatest anecdotes to complacency and mediocrity is to be grateful. To be grateful. Come from gratitude in everything. Always be grateful. Before you go reaching for great abundance, first assess what you have that comes for free. He says, what you have that comes for free is far greater than any material abundance you'll ever get. What is that? Your spiritual life, your walk with the Lord, your happiness. Happiness is free. It's free. Choose happiness. Some of you think it costs a tremendous amount of money to be happy. I'll show you millions of millionaires that are unhappy, and then you tell me how much it costs to be happy. The final part of his book talks about keeping balance, making sure you bring your loved ones with you. So as you reposition yourself, you got to make sure you bring your people on board, because you don't want to reposition yourself and leave people behind. Drag them along by throwing money at them. It means that you get them involved in the activities that you're involved in, so that they too can share in the repositioning experience. And that was a great chapter too. So anyway, so that's the reposition yourself. So we all need to do it, work on it, get back into the passion, the inspiration stage, look at the stages where you are, reevaluate yourself, see what you need to have done in your life to move forward. But again, great book, Reposition Yourself by T.J. Jakes, and I think we all need to look at it as it applies to our Manatech business. How are we repositioning ourselves today? I'm going to take myself off of, or all you guys off mute, and just any questions we'll answer. Hang on.
It looks like it's
okay, any comments?
I have no choice right now.
Any
Mary
comments?
Jo, I hate to even ask is when you said about looking for a mentor.
Yeah, I listened to my call.
Do we have noise in the background or what? Looking for a mentor.
Yeah,
and you said don't come from a position of need. See what you have to offer. What if you feel you don't have
what if you feel you don't have a mentor?
You don't have anything to offer to a
mentor. Holding up that we did. Okay.
Can you please be quiet or hang up the phone? Mary Jo is trying to answer a question.
Lydia is telling me I'm going to put you guys back on mute. How can she do it?
I'm talking about his kid in the background. Get out.
We're never talking about your kid.
Okay. You're asking me if you don't have a mentor, what was the rest of your
life? I think so. Well, it was pretty darn good.
if you don't have a mentor, it all comes from a position of need when you try to find a mentor. Come with something that you have to offer. If you do have to offer, you have to offer.
Well, Nancy's putting on the medicine that actually works better.
Hang on, I'm going to put everybody on mute, but whoever's talking, I'll read it to hang on.
The medicine.
Which is a great question. The question was that if you don't have a mentor and you're looking for somebody and you have somebody in mind that you'd like to, but if you don't come from a position of need, which I told you, you don't ever want to approach people with a position of need, right? Do I need you in my life? And needy, needy. You want to come to people with a position of something to offer. What do you have to offer them? And you can say, Mary Jo, what if you don't have anything to offer? I'm going to ask you a question to take a look at yourself and say, how did I come up with that question? What is it about me that I think I don't have anything to offer somebody? Because there's not a person on this face of the earth that doesn't have something to offer. In fact, I would suggest to you that maybe after this call's over that you sit down and put on a piece of paper and say, make a list for yourself of everything you have to offer. And I think you'll be blown away. It's just that you haven't looked at yourself that way in so many years or so many months, that you haven't looked at what you really are and who you are. Because you have a tremendous amount. Each one of you has a tremendous amount. You have tremendous value internally in you to offer somebody. It doesn't have to be, it's not about money. It's about services. It's about, I can do this for you, or I can support you by doing this, or I like to do these things. You know, what can that look like for you? You know, these are the things I really enjoy, and I'd love to support you in this. You know, can we have a partnership where I support you in any of these ways? But you really, I can't tell you what you have to offer, but I bet if I, you know, spent 5 minutes on a phone call with you, asked you 20 questions, I could come up with a zillion things. Because I don't know you personally. I mean, I don't know. I didn't recognize the voice. If I knew you personally, I would address that. And I maybe do know you personally. I just didn't recognize the voice. But the important thing is that you all have a tremendous amount. And you're coming from lack when you tell me you don't have anything to offer. And I know it's not true. And you better believe it's not true. Because that's the first step you've got to take. Okay? Great. Let me take everybody off mute, see if we have another question or a follow-up. You could try, Lydia said, try unmuting yourself, because Dorothy somehow got on the line. If you play *7. But a lot of these people are already unmuted, Lydia. There's an unmute. Who is that?
Hey, Mary Jo. This is Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Just another thing, too, I wanted to state with the question that was just asked. Is sometimes, you know, we try to pigeonhole ourselves into thinking that we only have one thing that we can offer to other people, when actually, if we'll just listen, we may have many gifts that we can offer to different people. You know, like, it's not going to be everybody, it's just one gift. It's going to be, as you, those people come into your life, there may be a different reason you're in their life that you have to offer.
Absolutely.
So.
Thank you, Terry. Yeah, and that's a great way to find out, is when you talk to somebody, if you have somebody you're looking at to mentor, just say, you know, I know you're really successful in your business, but what needs do you have? I mean, what are you looking at that you'd like to improve, or what ideas do you have about improving, you know, things that you need to happen in your life, or things that you need support with? And they'll go, oh, great, let me tell you, these are kind of, without even knowing what your agenda is. And then you just be a great listener. So there's another way to figure out. You might, they might mention some 10 things that you know you can fulfill for them. But just believe in yourself. That's the most important. Amen. Anyone else have any questions? Terry just unmuted, so maybe other people. Lydia said if you hit *7, maybe you can come back on and just ask a question. We can keep everybody else muted. I don't know if it works.
Mary Jo?
There's somebody else. Great.
Great.
Mary Jo, can you hear me?
Would you elaborate just a little bit on your, at the beginning of the call, you described moving someone in a dead leg, and my understanding was that there was a 6-month waiting process or something. Obviously, I've missed something.
Sure. No. You're absolutely, here, let me describe to you what's necessary. You had to have been not ordering for at least 6 months, okay?
Okay.
So let's take, for instance, the person that just called me last week. She hasn't ordered for 9 years. if I send in a termination form on her and a new application form, she's already satisfied her 6 months of being inactive.
Oh,
I don't have to wait 6 more months. You following me?
Yes.
So for people that are inactive in your downline and have been active for 6 months or over a year, you can bring them, but you can terminate them and bring them back in at any time. You don't have
Great.
To wait. It just would be for somebody who ordered last month and you wanted to terminate, bring back in. They don't have the 6 month requirement met because they ordered recently. So then you'd have to wait. Okay.
Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You bet. Uh-huh.
Mary Jo.
Yeah. You asked, or someone asked a question a few weeks ago about having access to your mana mail. Did you ever respond to that?
I think that Lydia said that best thing to do would not to be able to do that. We were talking about I think the program was this. People were interested in, you know, I said maybe we can make it available if you contribute, X dollars a month or something like that, we can make access to it. But Lydia said it was impossible to control. It's one of those things that once we send it out, people could give it to 3,000 people and their leaders and their downline. We would have no control over it. So I think the idea was to try to get people to form their own, like, mana mail groups. You know, try to get your local group. You can do a cross-line, downline, many, many different ways that you can do it to do that monthly newsletter that would be so helpful for you. But try to find a solution that way. Of course, if you're in my downline, you can get access to it. But if you're not, you wouldn't be able to. So anyway, so that's the idea. You know, our pricing on it or making it available at a cost wouldn't work because there's no control system in it. And it's just too hard. Yeah, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, thanks.
Yep, you bet.
Mary Jo.
You know, I would love
Mary
to give
Jo?
It to everybody. Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
The question.
This is Terry. Mary Jo, I wanted to say that it kind of goes along with what your whole thing today was, reposition yourself and rethink things. And, you know, knowing that God is in control of bringing me to this point, he's opened the door. I just think it's important for us to remember that even though it looks like a closed door, if God is in it, he will prevail. And and I think that 1 Corinthians 2:9 is a great verse. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And so let's just turn ourselves and our business and everything over to him. You know, he will open the doors that need to be open, and we just need to take the action that we need to do and just keep stepping out on faith consistently and ask him to show us who is it that he wants us to present this to.
Mm-hmm. You bet. Thanks, Terry. Wonderful.
Mary Jo.
Wonderful, wonderful. And absolutely true. He's in control, and he definitely, you know, when people ask me the question, sometimes they said, Mary Jo, with all this stuff going on at Manatech, do you think they're going to be around? And I go, there's no doubt in my mind. I said, you know,
yeah.
I've been around this company for a long time, and I can see a lot of mistakes. God didn't have his hand on this company. We would have been out of business years ago. He has made it so clear to me, and he led me to this place, you know, 10 years ago, and he has made it so clear to me what this mission is. It's just incredible. So, absolutely. And you're right. God is in control, and we need to take, but you know, a lot of people believe God's in control, but they sit back and wait for things to happen. That's not what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about taking action
mm-hmm.
and acknowledging
right.
how we're creating this stuckedness. We're creating the crystallization stages. We're creating the institutionalizations in our lives. We need to get out of that. He wants us to be passionate and inspired people, and he wants us to impact tons of lives and you know, that's action. Thank you, Terry. Great.
That's what I wanted to ask a question on is when you said, if I have to ask, what do I have to offer? You
mm-hmm.
said you could sit down with 20 questions and help unlock a blocked person.
Mm-hmm.
Have you already sent that out in the past, or is it something you could resend, the 20 questions? Because we have a lot of stuck people.
A lot of stuck people?
Yeah.
Who don't know what they have to offer?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, I am. I discovered several years ago that I am attracted, and they are attracted to me, women who are brilliant that don't believe that they're brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Ouch.
And I've worked quite a bit through it, but that would be a most incredibly useful list for me.
Yeah, great. No, I didn't think of that I had a pre-existing list. I just know that if I sat down and talked to somebody and asked them 20 questions, and I don't even have what they are off the, I'll do it after I get off this call. How's that?
That would be wonderful.
Send me an email, let me know who you are, and I'll send it out to you.
Thank you.
You betcha. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, what about the other person that asked the question originally, like me?
Oh, is that not the same person? Okay, great. How about if I just send it out to everybody? I'll just put it out there as part
of
the call.
We would love that.
That's what I ask for.
You guys got it. Yeah.
Mary Jo,
what's the name of the book?
Which book?
Only. T.J. Bakes. Jake.
Oh, it's called Reposition Yourself.
Oh, thank you.
Yep, Reposition Yourself. That's the name of his book. You bet.
Mm-hmm. Mary Jo, here's a question on shipping charges. There's been a discussion in the past about combining shipping charges for orders of people in the same household on the same date. Instead of two separate boxes arriving at the same place on the same time, the orders could be combined in one box and only have one shipping charge. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, I heard that it was definitely going to, first of all, I heard a year ago it was going to be part of Global View. Then I heard that they couldn't do it in the Global View process, so it was going to be part of the supplemental changes they made post-Global View, which could be by manifest. But I don't know. I haven't heard any update on that specific change. There are a number of them that we were waiting to see at Global View that didn't happen because they just got so far behind in all the other ones they couldn't implement all of them. But I heard not only same day, I heard that at one point in time they totally committed to any boxes coming to a given location for the entire month could come in one box.
That would be
so
great.
It wouldn't even have to be that you schedule them on the same day. They would just have all shipments to a certain address would come in one box, which would be great. But I will put a little flyer out, or you could actually, if you want to know, just send an email to Cindy Teisinger and see if she has any progress on that or statement of when that's going to happen. Okay? I know it's something proposed, and they definitely are committed to. Okay, one more question, and then we'll call it quits. It's a quarter after. Any
Mary Jo,
this is
not a question, but I wondered I've heard this Russian proverb, and that it's quite simple, and it sort of captures the essence. What you're saying, that is, put your faith in the Lord, but keep rowing for the shore.
There you go, exactly. Or even I would take it one more way. I would say, keep rowing for the shore, or rowing in whatever direction you feel move. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the reason I don't like that one is because I don't like people to think that they should keep acting in the same exact way all the time. Because we sometimes.
But I guess the shoreline changes too, and every
shoreline
is different depending on where you're at sea.
Right.
But the idea of a shore, shelter, sanctuary.
I'm a firm believer that for things to change, who's got to change? You.
Exactly. Yeah.
You do, right? Okay.
But it's lovely
and
to know.
So some
that.
People who keep rowing, I'm like, you know what? You've been doing it for 10 years. If you expect to get something different in life, you better look at doing something different, right? You bet.
That's right.
All right,
and
love
we
you
forget.
Guys. Have a great week, and I look
Thanks,
forward
Mary
to Jones. Talking to you next week. Talk to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mary Jo.
All right. Hello? The moderator.